A very good morning to you.
Why do you seem so worried?
A very good morning to you, my dear listeners. And welcome to Eagle FM. Thank you, David, for handing over the mic to the big one, you know, to the big mic. Yeah, thank you for joining us this very morning. I think the winter has just arrived. The winter have just actually arrived in the north today. It's a bit colder than ever, than before, actually. So the winter had just officially arrived in the north, or maybe just in Ondangwa and Ongwediva. So, all right, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us this morning, and welcome to your favorite 24/7 talk radio station. So my name is Mike Oshavelli, and this is Unpacking the Day. You are tuning to Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in terms of business news, economic news, and political news. So every weekday, we cut through the noise. We cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers making headlines. So we keep it clear and always curious, asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect of those Eagle FM. We're here to unpack what others are saying and spark a meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space. This is your platform to unpack the headlines with me and get to the heart of the stories. So our time, it's about 4 minutes past the hour of 8. And we're just right at the beginning of our show. So I will be with you until 10 o'clock. And we're coming to you live from the Ondangwa studio in the great mighty region of Oshana region. So thanks for joining us, and welcome. So as usual, we start our program, we start our show with our first segment that look at what happened on this day in Africa. So yeah, good morning and welcome. Welcome to On This Day in Africa. So today, we have got a real mixed bag of history, you know, from a legendary musician to an ancient emperor, right up to modern day politics and sport. All right, so let's kick things off in 1981. So on this day, the world lost a true musician icon. A reggae legend, Bob Marley, passed away at the tragically, you know, young age of 36. Now, while Bob was a Jamaican, from Jamaica, his musician meant, you know, something deeply personal here in Africa. So his songs, they were not just hits, you know, they became the soundtrack for liberation struggle across the continent. So Bob constantly championed Pan-Africanism, you know, Pan-African identity, reminding millions that Africa was their home. Now, jumping back to 1960, you might remember from your history book that Israeli agent captured a Nazi official, Adolf Eichmann, in Argentina. Now, but you might be asking, what does that have to do with Africa? Now, well, here's the thing. Africa was going through a massive change at that time, so with many countries actually gaining independence. So when Africa watched Eichmann go on trial for crimes against humanity, it actually shaped how nearly independent African nations, you know, thought about justice. So It got them talking about how to deal with human rights abuses in their own post-colonial society. And fast forward to much more today, actually, on 2020 and the 11th, today, the 11th of March, I mean the 11th of May 2026. Today, Kenya is hosting a major event in Nairobi called Africa Forward Summit with France. I think our VP, our Vice President, I think is also attending this summit, Africa Forward. And why this is significant? Because for a long time, France's diplomatic ties in Africa were mostly focused on West Africa. So now this summit in Nairobi was very clear signal that Africa, that France was trying to build a stronger relationship in East Africa and beyond, beyond its traditional comfort zone. So, yeah, so there will be for 2 days, Africa Forward Summit in Nairobi. And finally, let's wrap up on a higher note with some sport. All right. In 1977, a boy named Victor Matifield. You understand that? Victor Matifield was born in the city of Pietersburg. That's South Africa. So if you follow rugby, you know the name. You know that name. And he went on to become actually one of the greatest rugby player South Africa has ever produced. Well, that is your history for today. So that's your history for today. Well, thanks for tuning in. And yeah, welcome. And if you're just actually joining us at this point in time, so you are right at the beginning of the show. So, yeah, today is the 11th, the Monday, the 11th. So what is our thought for the day? So what is our thought for the day? So we have heard a famous proverb, when you educate a woman, you educate a nation. Now, when a woman gains knowledge, what that means is that when a woman gains knowledge, whether it's technology, business, or just a new way of looking at the world, okay, she doesn't usually keep it to herself. So a woman doesn't keep it to herself. It doesn't normally keep knowledge to herself. So that knowledge ripples out. No, it hit her children, her neighbors, her workplace, you know? So, and think of it like this. If you light one candle in a dark room, you can see your feet, yeah, because it doesn't go far. But if that candle light others, suddenly the whole house is bright. So education is not, it's not just about a degree on a wall. Yeah? It is about the shift in power and perspective that changes, you know, the DNA of a community. So, as you go about your day, as you go about your business today, you know, remember that every time we support a woman's growth, we are just helping one person. We are not just helping one person. We are upgrading the entire neighborhood. So, that's our thought for the day this morning. So, and good morning to you, and welcome. So, 11 minutes past the hour of 8. So, what do you expect on the show this morning? So, yeah, South Africa. Ooh, this is very interesting. South Africa's Constitutional Court has ordered Parliament actually to restart an impeachment inquiry into President Cyril Ramaphosa's the ruling that was in 2022 decision ruling that the 2022 decision to block the investigation into Palapala firm's control was unconstitutional. So it was unconstitutional. We're going to get into that. We're going to take an angle that is also very interesting to Namibia. So make sure that you stay tuned for that, and we're going to look at that. So our first item, on the show this morning. So, and this is actually making headline, making the front page of our e-newspaper, The Villager. So the Ministry of Industry and Mines and Energy, it's committed to providing capital and legislative support to Epangelo Mining Company to enhance local participation in Namibia's mining sector. So that's our second story that we're definitely gonna look at. So, and if we have time, we could also maybe look at some other stories that are in today's edition of The Villager. So make sure that you stay tuned. We will be back.
Omutiha witikiroka guna I matina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana nonge shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyawo ota ingongote samweni. Anange shifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika. Seisa nina omayaguro nirandi toma yoe yonge shifa yoe okupitira mo Igelefe Media House. Ngoe tuende pimemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, onora heta tuimu. Datundatu, heari jamano tano, oniaji. Igelefem, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
A very good morning to you. So welcome back. You are tuned into Unpacking the Day, where we don't just report the stories. Here we don't just report the stories. We open it up. All right. This story is also found in today's edition of The Villager, as a story by my colleague, David, Shombe. It's also found in today's edition of The Villager. Make sure that you read that story, but we're going to look at it from an article from Semaphore. South African, you know, magazine. So we're going to look at it from there. So good morning. Good morning to you. Good morning, Namibia. Okay. This morning, let me begin with a simple truth. Okay. And I want you to follow a little bit. So a country is not tested when things are calm. Do you agree with me that when things are calm, the country is actually not tested? So a country is tested when power is really under pressure. You know, when the president is in trouble, when the ruling party is tempted to protect its own, and when institution must choose now. Now the institution must choose between loyalty and the law. That is where now South Africa is today. That is where South Africa is today. And it's very interesting to see how that actually proceed. How does that go further now? And let us not act like this is it's a far away something. It's not something that is far away. It is not. It's not. So what happened actually in Pretoria? Often what happened in Pretoria does not actually stays in Pretoria. It reaches Windhoek. You know, it reaches our economy. It reaches our politics as well. So it reaches the way sometimes ordinary people think about power, about accountability, and about justice. So because if the most powerful men in the country can be investigated, that tells citizens something, isn't it? If you have, this is now, for me, I'm looking at if the most powerful men in the country can be really investigated, that tells something. It tells citizens something. But if the other thing is also, if the parliament tries to block that process, that also tells citizens something too. So this is not just a story. This is not just an African story. Okay? This is a story. This is actually, I would say, this is Southern African. This is an African story. Okay? This is South African story. So it's also a story about money that we're going to talk about. It's a story about money. It's a story about secrecy, about political protection, you know, about political protection and about court stepping in when politicians fail. And at the center of it all is one question that we are unpacking. At the center of it all is one question that we are unpacking. When a leader are accused, let's say for example, when the leader are accused, now do institution defend the truth? All right, this is very important. So when the leader is accused, do the institution defend the truth? Or do they defend the powerful? Who do they stand? Do the institution defend the truth? Now we're talking the parliament, we're talking about the judiciary, with the legislative, with all this. Do they defend the truth or do they defend the powerful? Actually, that's a question, you know, that's not only for what actually happening, what is transpiring, what is happening in South Africa, but also I think there are lessons that we can learn from there and being able to apply it, you know, on our situations. Okay? And that's where we're starting this morning. So here's the story in a nutshell before we dig deeper. So you know the story. South Africa, South Africa's highest court, the Constitutional Court, you know, had just told the parliament, you guys messed up, okay? They just told the parliament, you guys have messed up, so now go back and do your job properly. You must go back and do your job properly. So the judge have ruled that back in December 2022, okay? Yeah, back in December 2022, when the lawmaker voted to shut down an impeachment investigation into President Cyril Ramaphosa, that vote was unconstitutional, illegal, and set aside. So now it's set aside. So the court say Parliament acted unlawfully in 2022 when it blocked an impeachment process linked to the Parapara scandals. Now that means the inquiry must start again. So that's what this ruling means. Now, for the first time, you know, for the first time in post-apartheid, you know, South Africa, a sitting president is actually being forced into a full-scale impeachment inquiry. It's an inquiry, so just make sure that you understand what that means. So that is history happening right next door. Seriously, that's a history happening right next door. So that is not a small procedural issue. It is not. So this is a test now. It is a test of the Constitution. You know, it's a test of constitution, a test of parliament, it's also a test of parliament, and a test of Ramaphosa himself. Yeah. So Now, let's go back. Let me put you in the frame of what is happening. Okay? So let's go back. The year is 2020. Remember, the year is 2020 at Ramaphosa Palapala Game Farm in Limpopo. Now, thieves break in and they steal around $580,000 in cash. Now, not from a safe. This money was stolen. When it was stolen, it was not from the safe. Like the money was stolen from the safe. Not from a bank vault or some kind of like, okay, at the farm there was this bank vault and then it was broken in. Yeah. From inside furniture. All right? When you just hear that, from inside furniture. Yes, inside the furniture. Like, you know, this is more like something from the Nollywood, you know, those kind of Nollywood movie sit about $580,000 in cash. You know, that's okay. That's roughly, let me do my math. Let me do the math for you. So, that's over 10 million Namibian dollars stuffed into a sofa. You know, so 10 million Namibian dollar stuffed into a sofa. And of course, that detail shocked South African. And it still does. And it still does. That's why, you know, we're still here. So because the ordinary people immediately asked, you know, or maybe even when you hear that, you still ask, why is that amount of cash sitting in the farmhouse? Yeah. Why that amount of cash sitting in the farmhouse? Why is hidden like that? Now, that's another question. Why is hidden like that? Why is actually stuffed in the sofa? What was the matter? Now, the other issue is that why was the matter not reported through the normal police channels? These are all the questions the ordinary people have. I mean, the people have in South Africa. So why was the matter not reported through the normal police channel? Those questions have never really gone away. They have never really gone away. Even in Namibia, they have never really gone away. So because it the reason why something became more interesting for Namibia, the people, some of the thieves are from here. Some of the thieves are from here. So some of the thieves are from here. So that, yeah, no, what was interesting was the robbery was, what was interesting about the robbery was that it was not reported to the South African police service in the normal way that you normally report the service. So there was no case number. There was no case number opened at a local charge office like what we do. You know, you can even just your $500 can just went missing. And what you do, you run to the church office and you report it, you know, 500. I'm talking about 500 here, you know, and here we talk about 10 million and no case number opened at all. Yeah. So that's become questionable. So now, what the president did actually, now instead now go and open the case, instead the president actually owned bodyguard paid by, you know, imagine, you know, paid by taxpayer, mind you, you know, allegedly go hunting for the suspect across, you know, they came until Namibia, across the border here in Namibia and also beyond. There were some other, you know, investigation from, you know, the president bodyguard. So at first, I think, if you remember, at first the story actually stayed quiet. Then it stayed quiet. Then in 2022, a former intelligence boss, Arthur Frazier, filed a criminal complaint. So he filed a criminal complaint. He alleged there had been a cover-up. So he claimed state resources may have been, you know, may have been used improperly. He raised the suspicion around how the money was handled and how the suspect were tracked, you know. So, but that they were tracked by the bodyguard and all these kind of things, you know, of the president. And suddenly, what looked like a private farm theft actually became a national political crisis. You know, now it actually became a national political crisis as where we are right now, you know. So now, here is where the story now turned from scandal. It's actually turned from a scandal now to a constitutional issue. So it has now turned from, you know, from scandal. It was just a scandal. But it turned now into a constitutional issue. So now, after the complaint, an independent parliamentary panel was appointed. An independent parliamentary panel was appointed, just as we have, you know, parliamentary committee sometime appointed just to deal with something specific. So it was appointed. Now, the panel was led by a respected retired Chief Justice, you know, Santile Mkhobo. Santile Mkhobo, yeah? So they looked at the evidence and said, there is enough here to suggest the president may have violated the Constitution. They didn't say he was guilty, okay? That should be very clear. They didn't say he was guilty, but they said there is enough here to suggest the president have, the president may have violated the Constitution. So they said this need a deeper investigation. This need a deeper investigation. Now, was there enough evidence now to justify a full impeachment inquiry? The answer was yes. The answer was yes. Now, the panel found there was enough material to suggest Ramaphosa may have questioned to answer under the Constitution. Now, that should have triggered now the next step. Do you understand? When now they realize that, okay, I think there's enough here to impeach, I mean, to justify a full impeachment inquiry. So that now will continue after this.
Great news. Impa just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba. Where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back. And now, all right, so as I said, there was enough evidence. Was there enough evidence to justify a full impeachment inquiry? So the answer was yes. Now, so the panel found there was enough now, okay? They looked at that there was enough material to suggest that Ramaphosa may have actually questioned to answer under the Constitution. Now, that should in itself now, that process should have triggered the next step. And what did the Parliament do? Well, Parliament did something else. Now, you know, you remember by 2020, then the government ANC... the then government ANC, which still had its majority, you know, in the parliament, they used the number actually to vote down that report, because they had the majority in the parliament. So slam the door shut, end of the story. So that's what happened. Or so they thought. So that move looked political then. I think at that time, that move looked political then. Now, the court say it was unconstitutional too. All right? Now the court comes back and say it was unconstitutional. Now, the economic freedom fighter, the EFF, led by Julius Malema, they took it to the court. They took it to court, and it's last week, the Constitutional Court agreed with them. So the judge said the parliament rule that allow lawmaker to just dismiss the panel's finding gave them too much discretion. So that gave them too much discretion. So too much power to protect their own. Now, they're given too much discretion and too much power actually to protect their own. So we have to think about our own system in terms of that. So the court has rewritten the rule. From now on, when an independent panel finds evidence, parliament must refer it to a full impeachment committee. So that's now what the court says. No more political shielding, yeah? Forget it. So because you may be shielding corruption. So because in the parliament, because the ANC has the majority, it's like what we have here, so they have the majority, they may actually conceal and protect their own. Yeah? So you remember this reminds me the issue of the petroleum bill, okay? So which in the petroleum bill, actually, there are section that, of course, there has been issues about this sector and going to the president's office. Managed through the presidency. So now the political party, the ruling party, there were those who may have been wanting to disagree with that, but you can't disagree with your own, you know, that there were some questions like that, you know, can't disagree with your own party putting up a bill, you know, proposing such a bill or such a, so it becomes a question of probably in your mind as the right decision, but of loyalty. Do you understand? So, and this is what the court now in South Africa have done. They rewritten the rule that from now, when an independent panel find evidence, parliament must refer it now to the full impeachment committee. Now, in this regard, no more political shielding. Okay? So this is huge, my dear listener. It's huge. Now, it's huge because this is the judiciary. See, as I said, this is huge because this is the judiciary telling the legislative. Eh? It's the judiciary telling the legislature, you cannot use your majority to bury inconvenient, like to bury some kind of inconvenient truth. So you cannot now use your majority to conceal, you know, to protect your own or shielding, you know, somebody. So, and that's a lesson. That's a lesson for, I think that's a, for me, when I'm looking at this, I said, well, that's a lesson for every parliament on the continent. Yeah? It's a lesson for every parliament on the continent because that what more likely we tend to do, our parliament actually tend to do. Including, dare I say it, you know, our own Tinder Palace, you know, here in Windhoek. Yeah? So, now, the Constitutional Court has now ruled that the parliament acted unlawfully. Okay? So it has also struck down the rule that gave MPs too much freedom to kill the process before properly inquiry could begin. So now the court has forced Parliament back to the table. Get back to the table. Not maybe, not if convenient, it must go back. Okay? So that's where we are. That's the meaning of this ruling. That's the meaning of this ruling. So now, that's, okay. So now that's where the legal story ends. Okay? But the political story begins. So the interesting part, that's where the legal story ends, but now the political story begins. Now, let's meet the chess players, okay? Let's meet the chess players because this is where it gets juicy a little bit, okay? This is where it gets juicy. There is a political chess board, you know, we need to look at, you know, about this story. And there are chess players that are involved. Now, the first chess player we have in this is the ANC. You know, at one point, the mighty liberation movement of Mandela. Now, in last year's elections, they lost their outright majority for the first time in 30 years. Okay, for the first time in 30 years. They are now governing in a coalition, what they call the government of national unity. Now, they are saying they will discuss the ruling internally, okay? They will discuss the ruling internally and do what need to be done correctly. When you translate that, okay, we will buy time. Okay? So basically, that's, we will buy time, okay? Now, second, you know, now the second, you know, chess player in this is the Democratic Alliance. The DA. Now, the DA, the second biggest party, they are now the Ramaphosa's coalition partner. But they have already said they won't, you know, shield the wrongdoing. They say it clear that we are not going to shield the wrongdoing. I would just say watch this space carefully, you know, watch this space carefully, because the DA hold the, they are the one now hold the main position. They are the kingmakers, you know, kind of like the kingmaker's seat. We're talking about now the chess here. So they are the kingmaker's seat. Now, to remove a president, now, we're talking about impeachment here. To remove a president, you need 2/3 majority. And without the DA vote, now, the other part, the EEF and Zuma's, what is that? And Jacob Zuma's MK party, simply cannot actually reach the threshold. So they need the DA. You see? So, now let's get to the, now the third chess player here is the EFF and the Zuma's MK, you know, party, them Mkhonto we Sizwe. Now, with these two, both of them actually want Ramaphosa gone yesterday. They want him gone. Eh? And the EFF has already written to the speaker demanding a clear timeline for this. So they smell the blood, you know, it's like a shark. They smell the blood in the water. Eh? So now, and then there's an elephant in the room. So Jacob Zuma himself, he's the elephant in the room. Now, remember, Zuma was forced out by his own party in 2018. Eh? Partly because of corruption and allegations. So, you know, because of corruption allegations. So now, his new party gets to vote on whether Ramaphosa, the man who replaced him, should face the same fate. Here you can see that the irony write itself. It's gonna write itself. Definitely, it's gonna write itself. Now, if the process goes all the way to vote on removal, the DA could become the decisive force. So that means Ramaphosa is not just dealing with the opposition, the MK and EFF. He's dealing with pressure from across. So he's dealing with, so now Ramaphosa is not just dealing with the opposition here. So he's dealing now with the pressure from across the political spectrum, from opponents, from partners, and possibly from within his own party, you know, because I can't remember. I don't know whether it's a committee that actually, you know, looking into this, that's actually, you know, also supporting, that said, well, we want those who are actually involved, if there's someone who commits something, you know, who commit corruption or anything, we want them dealt with. So I don't know how that body called in the ANC. Because the parties, they don't like scandals, you know. They don't like public hearings because they do not like embarrassment evidence on a live television, for example, you know. So one possibility is that the process ran its course and he survives. That could be a possibility. Another is that, you know, the pressure becomes too much. And then what? So he may be forced to resign. Or another very real possibility is that the ANC decide it's better to manage an exit that than actually to endure a long public political, you know, wound that may this create. And it may really, you know, damage the ANC. So it's, and you remember how the fish rod really damaged, you know, for example, SWAPO. Something must be done, you know. All right. So now there where we are. So now let's ask the question that matters on this side of the border, okay? So on this side of the border, why the question probably is why should Namibia care? Why should we care about this? Okay? Now, we must care. I think everybody in Namibia, we must care because South Africa is not just our neighbor. South Africa is tied to us in real ways, in many, many, many ways. You know, our economy is linked, our currency is linked, our trade is linked, even our political thinking is often linked. No, seriously. Even our political thinking is often linked, you know. So the biggest reason is economics. You know, South Africa is our biggest trading partner. If their politics wobble, I can tell you our pension fund will wobble. You know, if our supermarket shelf wobble, you know, I mean, if they, you know, our supermarket will also wobble, really. So that rand dollar peg means their current story is our current story. So there is bigger reasons, you know, for us to, you know, why should we care what is happening in South Africa? We definitely should. Investors watch South Africa closely. So do businesses. So do banks. You know, so do regional governments, you know. So far, I mean, as we speak, yeah, so far the market has been calm, you know. The market has been calm when you look at the at the stock exchange and other things, the market update. No, so far has been calm. The rand barely moved. It hasn't changed yet. But you know what? So like what we have seen from the Middle East, you know, the political instability has a way of sometime catching up. Eh? It has a way of catching up. And there's another reason. Okay? There's another reason we must pay attention. And this story is about, I think this story is about whether institutions still work when the power is on the line. I think that's one thing that we can, I don't know whether it's a learning or it's something that we should be watching out. And that is, that matters here. I think that matters in Namibia. So do institutions still work when power is on the line? When the powerful are the one on the chopping list? And we know this. Namibia knows this region has, we know it has a long history of liberation parties becoming dominant parties. You know, we know what happens when political loyalty becomes stronger than public accountability. Yeah? In most cases, political loyalty become more stronger than the public accountability. Yeah. So this case forces us now to ask serious question at home, here. Like if similar scandal broke here, what would happen? What would happen? Would our parliament act without fear or favor? Now I'm talking about the parliament now as an institution. Would our parliament act without fear or favor? Or would they, you know, would loyalty become more stronger than public accountability? And I can tell you, many will choose political loyalty than public accountability. Eh? No, seriously. So would our parliament, for example, would fear? Would they act, you know, without fear or favor? And I'm asking you, parliamentarian, lawmakers, or would party numbers now, those are now like, be the, let's say for example, Tuapa has the majority, would party number be used to bury the issues? It has happened in the past. So would party numbers be used to bury the issues? Those are things that we really need to think in our democracy. And sometimes the party number, and I'm not just talking about in Namibia, I'm talking generally in Africa, or even in some part of the world, you know? Would party number be used to bury, and it has happened, you know, bury corruptions because you have the majority. So like what we have seen now in South Africa, this is a typical example. Would state institution move quickly and independently? In Namibia so far, that's fine. Our state institutions still have some credibility. But would they move independently without any influence? So say for example ACC, do they move independently or in some cases they are being influenced? Those are the questions. So those are just questions. So would the public get clear answers? So, and I think these questions matter. They matter because democracy is not protected by speeches. No, seriously. Democracy is not protected by speech. It is protected by institutions that work in an uncomfortable. So when you are, that it is in a situation like this, and they still actually work. You understand? So, and that's why this is bigger than one president and one farm. It's bigger than Ramaphosa in terms of how we're looking at this. All right? And before you come through, okay? Before you come through, let me ask you, let's look at some of the things. Quickly, maybe some of the questions that you can look at, some of the things that we can discuss. Yeah, this is just to further our discussion. Let me now put the question directly to you, okay? Just for you to think, even if when you look at the situation itself, now you ask yourself, definitely you ask yourself, how does that amount of cash end up hidden in a couch or wherever, somewhere in the sofa or whatever? Eh? And also ask yourself, why was no more police procedure not followed from the start? Why were security structure allegedly pulled into a matter that began as a private theft? Eh? Why did Parliament try to stop a deeper inquiry? Now, this is with the Parliament. Why did Parliament try to stop a deeper inquiry if there was nothing to fear? Eh? If there was nothing to fear, why would they, you know, they stop that? And here's the big one. Now, is the scandal only missing money? Now, think about this. Now, serious, is the scandal only missing money, or is deeper scandal the political instinct to protect power? Eh? It's more like the deeper scandal is the political instinct to protect power. First protect power, and then ask question later. Eh? I think that's the biggest scandal. Not the money, actually. And the way we're looking at this, we're not looking at necessarily about the money. We don't care about the money. So what we're looking at is the protection of power first by our institution, and ask question later. Because that, my fellow Namibian, is how trust in a government breaks down. That's how trust actually breaks down. Not only through wrongdoings, but through the appearance of shielding wrongdoing. You know, you appear shielding, protecting the wrongdoing. That's how government breaks down. So now, South Africa actually stands at the crossroad as we speak. And we should watch this very carefully. We should watch this very, very, very carefully. So, yeah. And what do you think? What do you think? So, South African court has done what court are supposed to do, I think. You know, it has reminded politicians that Parliament does not sit above the Constitution, which is true. It has power. It has said power must answer questions. Yeah? You cannot just dismiss this, okay? They must answer questions. It said procedures cannot be twisted to protect the powerful. So that is, for me, that is South African lesson. That's what I'm, you know, that's what interests me more. Not the money, but, you know, that aspect. And now here's the Namibian one. We must never become too relaxed when scandal happens next door. Why? Because, have you learned this? Because the habit of power travels. The habit of power travels. And we have seen this. You can see in West Africa, for example. In one country, there's a coup. The next, not even a month, not even a year, there's a coup. Another somewhere, not even a month, not a year, 2 years later, there's another coup. There, that's why I said the power travels. So you never, never relax when scandal happens next door. Because the habit of power travels. The excuses travels the culture of protecting leaders travels. Eh? And if citizens are not alert, if we are not alert, that culture settles in quietly. Eh? And we get used to it. Eh? Today, it is Ramaphosa in Pretoria. Tomorrow, it could be any leader in the regional, in the region facing serious allegation. While supporters say, let's not embarrass the party. Eh? Let's not embarrass the party. Do you remember? The reason why I'm saying this, do you remember there was a certain thing the Minister of Urban Rural Development, you know, was doing certain things, and there were certain individual in the party who is actually saying you are embarrassing, you know, the Sangwasa is embarrassing the party. Yeah? Let's not embarrass the party. So you understand? So, but democracy is not there to protect parties from embarrassment. It's there to protect the public from abuse of power. It's there to protect the public from abuse of power. So, and that's the point. That is the point. So Namibia should not just watch this story as spectators. We have the similar things, a few things in smaller pocket. Yeah? We should watch. Yeah? We should watch it as a, how does that, as a student. You know, as student. Yeah? As citizen, as taxpayers, as people who also want institutions that can stand firm when the big names are under, you know, are under pressure. So let's hear what someone has to say. A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking.
Yes, Dr. Meg, how are you?
I'm fine, man. Yourself?
I'm okay, Joe. The morning is lovely.
Yeah, it's as I said, it has become official now in the north that the winter is here.
Talk about any window, my friend. Okay?
No, you guys have been under that condition for a while, but for us it was not. But this morning, it was a bit cold. Yeah.
Well, winter
here,
my friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just love it when you are saying in Namibia we are like a police station. I hear you. Maybe we can say even South Africa, South Africa is better.
Yeah.
Even if you can see the president have been taken for accountability in South Africa, like the previous president Zuma, you can see that the police was escaping. But in Namibia, it's not even, maybe only now than what? The official of the guys.
Yeah.
But apart from that, there are ministers who are even overturned the guy was found with the money. Nothing happened to him. There are so many cases I can give you. Even if this is what we talk about, there's somebody in the what? Audio, not audio, but you say what? The video clip.
Yeah.
Talk about now, you have to be careful, but that's because they're still walking around. Free men.
You see? Yeah.
So, I think in Namibia, no. With the problem which we have is that we are kind of having a corruption government and there's no state. That's the problem.
Yeah.
The state is not there. Otherwise, if the state was there, this accountability is supposed to be the first priority in Namibia. That's not happening. That's why a president can fire a person, but it's not mentioning why he fired this person. Nothing it can come out like to talk about it, to tell the nation what is happening.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's better to tell the people what is happening, why the person has to be removed from the NDC. So the people can even start debating and they also have a conclusion.
Mm.
But when you get quiet, you are sending a death trip, I'm telling you, because now people are wondering how long are we going to keep up with this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think one thing very, the reason why I looked at this story, I look at the system of our institutions where like we have a parliament now as an example from South Africa that actually dismisses the report you know, and completely gone quiet until, you know, someone actually went to court and said, ah, we need to actually fall. You see, that institution actually, if that, now it's looking, that institution as a parliament, as an institution, has actually just shielded, protected corruption. you understand? You know?
Yeah.
It just because of the majority the political party has in parliament to actually protect their own. So they are not looking at now, they're not looking at the what? To protect the public from the abuse of power. So they're looking at protecting themselves.
That is what's happening in Africa.
Yeah.
If Namibians are stole money in South Africa, they come to back home, then now somebody has to call somebody in the private and they might be able to be taken away back to South Africa. Yeah, we found to Namibian knowledgement. So this outcome is a Israeli corruption.
Yeah.
That's a big corruption. Is that what I'm saying? In Africa, I think, especially when it comes to SADC, they are more to protect corrupt people than the majority.
Yeah.
Individual person who's corrupt in the majority. Look at the scenario of what SMB bring.
Yeah, to protect the powerful. To protect the powerful.
Yeah. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Where is that case now? Nobody's even talking about it. But do you think we forget? No, we never forget it. Because there's a, that thing is about to take us some. The institution, it was good, the who set up, but the way they deal it with, it's very questionable.
Yeah.
And when you are talking about, like, you look at the Gupta family in South Africa, there's almost the same, like, the Zimbabwean who come and set up the same thing here. He come in with maybe some 15 million. The government injects the money, they got to hold the money along.
Yeah.
It's the same most of the family. They come there, then they start controlling even who's going to be hired next, who's going to be a minister, who can do it. All those big tenders are going to them. And they're the same, I think the Chinese are sleeping at here in Namibia. When you look at the Chinese, there are a lot of Namibian who are, few Namibian who are benefiting behind the Chinese.
Yeah.
In they are getting serious. Not only them, we look at it like, oh, there's Chinese, we know they are competent, they can do the job, but behind the scenes, there are few Namibian who are benefiting in that big tender.
Yeah.
But for me, when it comes to South Africa, I think they must make it Julius Malema. Because this one is like, do me, I do you.
Yeah.
You know, Malema was facing the charge because of the gun and what. And the Lama Bosha was smiling quietly. He forget that he's having his own problem also.
Yeah.
And the people never forget it. Now, look who's thinking of the church.
Yeah.
Malema. Yeah. And I'm sure they won't let him the hook. No.
Of course. Then Kondo Wesizwe is also in for this. Former president, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the DA is saying, we're not going to shield wrongdoing. We definitely, even if we are in the government of national unity. No, we're not. Yeah. Yeah. So.
Because you break the rules,
Yeah.
You guys are the ones setting up the rules. Then now you're having a lot of money in your sofa. So you're having a private thing in your farm.
Yeah. If there was nothing wrong, you could actually just show the papers and say, well, this is the money where it come from. You know, he said, he sold his cattle to one of the, what is it? Was it Somalian or where did he sell the cattle? So he actually sold the cattle somewhere, you know. That's where the money is coming from. So if you have all your document, why would that be a problem? Yeah. You know? Yeah.
And why would not make a case?
Exactly. Why wouldn't you go to the police and open the case so that the police can investigate, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, he has to answer for it. I think he has to answer for it.
Serious, I don't think he will survive. area. Because I think people are coming, they are already gun blazing.
And it will damage ANC again.
The outcome of this election, I'm telling you,
it will definitely damage.
And this is what I think Namibian people, they have to learn. Because when things are happening like this, that's why I'm always advocating, like, no, guys, we have people who are capable. If you go and check it at the social media, there are something about Onekundi. You know, when you are doing good, they start digging. Individual investigating you.
they need to tarnish. They need to tarnish you a little bit, you know.
Exactly. And the individual who are doing those, is own follower of the what? His own call what? Compatriot of the party.
Yeah, exactly.
So, if you look within some water issue. You are not competent. Even now, why you have to think about
Your weaknesses and
we as a Namibian, we have to be careful. Because there are a lot of people who are trying to manipulate people who are doing good. If you look, we only have like 3 ministers.
Yeah.
Which we know they are doing very well. But I'm telling you, the most of them, I don't know if they are not competent or what, but really they are not even doing nothing. They are not even come to this. It's better even just to brush off people so they, like you are, at least you are doing something.
Yeah.
But the more you keep quiet, the more you are not even acting. It's more than we know that you are not capable. If you look now, that's what I'm saying, people who need more protection, even more bodyguard than the president, Sangwasa and the Nekundi. And
there could be also some that are not in the public eye but doing their good job. So there could be some. So it's not always that you are in the public eye. You are on a front page that you're working. So there could be other ministers
I'm doubting because we have young people like the one who is leading the Minister of Labour. We have young one like in the Minister of Information. But if even you go to the information now, try to check for Minister of Information something. You might find the website is only been updated last December.
Yeah.
And you are telling me they are doing something. Unless your services are not needed. But if you are in demand, it's about to be like a Nekundo this day or Sangwasa. Because I'm telling you, go there and check how many schools are having even like what when it comes to computers.
Yeah.
Few. In the country, but we have a Minister of Information. What is he doing? How many network are not covered in the whole country? I'm telling you, my God, and then you find it. You have to walk like what? 10 kilometers to reach what? The network.
10 kilometers. that's short. 10 kilometers.
Yeah.
Oh.
Hey, more than nothing.
My goodness. 10 kilometers. A network from another network. Yes, between them is 10 kilometers. No way. Oh, no way. definitely not. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm telling you that we need to. We need, especially look at the window, even.
Yeah.
Go down like a window to Goliath half day. There's no network coverage. I'm telling you, and we have students. People are supposed to submit their assignment on time. Maybe sometimes they do it, it's near close, but that person has to what? To hustle. To come to campus. For how long is that? Maybe sometimes the person is doing this. But it's just in the window.
Yeah.
Okay, if you go that side of Congo or Kabango, how bad it will be?
Yeah, I forget. They don't even dream anymore. You know, they forget dreaming, you know, about that.
And in America now, we have a problem of why the youth are leaving the village to come to the city. and thousands.
Yeah.
But you are the one who pushing them. Because there's nothing, even if the network is not there, do you think I can just keep up the wheel I'm having a smartphone now? I'm moving to town.
Yeah, definitely.
I can't go and ask me to come when I know that the like maybe will accommodate me for 2 days, then I'll try somebody else from the village again.
Yeah.
It's a problem. Yeah, back to the story of the South Africa. Mike, for me, I think it will be good.
Yeah.
If impeachment is being done, then Sir Ramaphosa can face the music.
Yeah, but wait, if somebody has done something, they must face the music. Eh? That's how the law should be.
Give an example to other people.
Hmm?
So the next person cannot do it because he know how that he feel like. Because we are letting people every day out of work, they feel like no, because there are people who are protecting them.
Yeah, we can't have the law for the poor and what different for the rich, you know?
From the rich, yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't work like that.
It doesn't, yeah.
No, not at all. And this is what I'm also advocating, like in Namibia, why we must not go cold in the oil lodge when it comes to Nanko.
Yeah.
Something needs to be done. Those guys are supposed to be going back to jail because you cannot tell me. We have a competent law, what? No. Then I want also to ask, Mike, is there anything like if a, let me say those guys who are prosecuting or judgment, who are passing on like to people to listen for bail?
Yeah.
Maybe these people, they, who follow up them?
I mean, the police do their investigations, and that's there are conditions sometimes depending on how not how dangerous that person is, but how influential that person may influence. The reasons why they give them bail is because they understand they may not have influence on the situations. They may not influence the investigation of the police and other things. So, yeah. So, well, if when you give bail, definitely those are some of the conditions that you give. And the court sees that they are not danger to the society, neither they would influence actually the further investigation. Yeah.
Yeah. The question maybe is like a kind of like a, I think. Okay, let me say like maybe you know we have a Damaseba, that's a president of the judge.
Yeah.
We have a Master Sibudis for Wajab.
Who?
Okay. Who they report to? Those panelists who are giving a bail to be given. They reported to Damaseba or they reported to Master Sibute.
Wow. In terms of the normal structure or what?
Structure, when you come up with a bail, like now, let me say I'm now like a magistrate.
No, you just decide. It's within your power. When you are in that seat, you have the power to decide.
So you don't report to anybody.
No, you don't go to anybody and report.
I think our institution is very weak. Because why I'm asking Mike is regarding to the what you know the case of the lady was killed in the north.
Yeah.
Yeah. Things can be influenced. Things can come up like the way it is. She was also being violated and being murdered. People can come, because I'm the one who handling that case, they can start, you know, like, if you don't do it, we will deal with you, or there's a money for you.
Yeah, well, that can happen. That can happen. So, yeah. But
you want to
believe that and these are professional and they believe in the cause of justice. They believe in the cause of justice and they will do their work right. Yeah.
Not in Namibia, my friend.
Yeah. So far, when it comes to judiciary in Namibia, it hasn't been bad, you know, in some cases, but overall, it hasn't been bad.
No, attack about can see it's very bad. Because you cannot tell me that it's because you come here, you're just a top lawyer, you can win any case. No,
yeah,
no,
because,
no, no.
Because they went. No, the thing is this. Okay, let's not spend much on this one. But the thing is this. It always depend on, because you as a judge, you listen to what the witness say. You know what the evidence they bring. If they didn't bring evidence, so you may not actually decide to keep people for when you don't see there's evidence here. You know, you cannot just make an assumption that these people are guilty. That's why we say they are guilty until they're proven guilty. I mean, they are innocent until they're proven guilty. You know?
But
so,
for me, if you look at the public presenter of the witness, that guy was winning. When we used to listen to the radio, and then later on winning, and no more listening, is where maybe the case went court.
Ah, well.
Then they granted the bail. Because now, when I was listening to, I forget, ma'am, what is the name of the guy?
The inspector?
The one who was testifying, yeah, the witness.
Oh, okay, what is his name?
I forget the name.
Yeah, okay.
That's why, if you remember last time I was even advocating that, no, for us to reward people, we have to look for those guys like Kanyangela and that guy. Why not? Because you can see, that's how people are competent. Then we need to promote them. How will you reward the people in the country?
All right.
Anyway, that was not a part of the topic.
Yeah. No, it's still on judiciary.
It's landing high. Anyway, thanks, man.
All right. Thanks for coming through.
All right.
Oh, 0833-66091 0833-66091 and we're talking about the impeachment inquiry that the court of South Africa has have decided to reopen the Palapala saga or situation. Whatever you may call it. Now, the other thing I was talking about is that, the democracy, is not there to protect, as I said, it's not there to protect parties from embarrassment. And we have seen this, it is there to protect the public from abuse of power. And that, I think, some of the lessons that we need to look at from this kind of situations. So, and exactly that, when we overall, that's the point that we're looking at. So, we should be watching, should be watching this story. As I said earlier on, we shouldn't be watching this as a spectators, but we should watch it as a student, as citizens, as taxpayers, as people who also want institution that can stand firm, because that's the whole thing. We want institutions that can stand firm when the big names are under pressure. So because in the end, the real question is not whether South Africa can investigate its president. The real question is whether Southern Africa is serious about accountability at all. Are we serious about accountability? If the law only works for the small people, then it is not the law. If it's only for small people, then it's not the law. It's a costume. It is a costume. If a parliament only acts when the accused is weak, then it is not, then it loses its oversight. It loses its oversight and it becomes more like a theater, okay? And that's why this story matter here as well. It matters here. Not because it's dramatic, as we can see, not because it is South African, no, because it asks question every democracy must answer. That question is, when power is cornered, now, when you cornered the most powerful, does the truth still stand a chance? When you cornered the powerful, when you cornered power, when power is cornered, does the truth still stand a chance? That's the question. That's where, you know, we look at. So what do you think? So you may come through. Our telephone number is 0833-66091, 0833-66091. What are you saying? What is your reaction to that? And what is your take? 0833-66091.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omutiha wutekirwa kaguna ii matina omjo. Chikao shafaa sana na analonge shifaa ya eshiwike moshi wana. Iye moya o, ota ingongotisa mwene. Anange shifaa ya Namibia, ombito ombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayaguro nirandito mwa yoe, yonge shifaa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omupa shifareki uimopo yo mo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, konara heta tuimu. Datundatu, heari hamano tano, oni aji. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, very good morning, good morning, and welcome. And thanks for joining us, and welcome back. Welcome back. You're tuning to Unpacking the Day. So, yeah, look up this story. Look up more. Look up the story. There's also a story in our edition, in our today's edition for today's edition of The Villager. I think it's on page, what page is that? On page 8, South Africa court ruling serves as a test to democratic institutions. So, exactly. So, it really serves as a test to democratic institutions. Read that story by David Chombe. So very, very interesting as we have looked at some of the aspect, you know, right here on Unpacking the Day. So, good morning. Our time is about 25 minutes past the hour of 9. So, we go up to 10 o'clock, where we'll be handing over to Tate France. Mbarangaja, you know, who will be coming with Kwithamosha around 10 o'clock. Make sure that you tune in for that show. All right. So, you may come through and have your say on this one, but we can also move to the other topic that way. This one is actually making the headline. It's the front page of our e-newspaper, The Village. So, yeah. So here, I think here's a number that, that I want you to think about for a moment. I just want you to think about that number. 64.2 billion Namibian dollar. What can you do with that money? as a country, 64.2 billion Namibian dollar. So that's how much revenue our mines generated, last year from the minerals they pulled out of our soil, of our ground. 64.2 billion. Now, here's a follow-up question. All right? Actually, it's not a follow-up. I asked that already. So, how much of that stayed now? How much of that money? Just imagine, 64.2 billion. How much of that, think of that, how much of that money stayed in Namibia? When I told you, for our minerals, we actually, last year, we produce 64.2 billion. So you kind of like, wow, what, you know, how much is actually of our budget? What percentage of our budget that would make, you know? So now, how much of that state in Namibia? That amount of money, how much of that actually, let me ask maybe straight to you, how much of that actually built a school in your village? Or how much of that has created a job for your child that's sitting at home? Have you ever asked yourself those kind of questions? How much of that actually belong to you? I mean, I don't mean to you as an individual, but to you as a country. So those questions, maybe we don't ask ourselves those questions. I want you to think about it. Think, and we'll be back. We'll be right back after this quickly.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right, welcome back, Ina. All right. So make sure that this is a story. As I said, we're unpacking our front page, our main headliner for today, for our edition, for our e-newspaper this morning. It's a story by Nino Minavali Hangala. So make sure that you subscribe for The Villager and be able to read for yourself. Coming back after this.
Imbaya rire ombwa nai epetra weza ko ombu nikiro ombe ombi hukusha. Njiviro yoye irire ombupu ohatane na wina ikare no masa kumurungu wa indu. Weriro ngere kusha umune ondengu ukura kwe imba. Una ovi unedia peke ko gondola mirongo vitatu na hambu umwe mumwe stoo. Kika ovinki no kukara norupa ondando ya peke yukianja oshimariva. Owa peresente dano kumyeze vitatu moshimariva. Owa peresente umurongo kumyeze hambu umwe moshimariva. Owa peresente umirongo ivari na dano. Kumyeze murongo na ivari moshimarifu. Itoororera ondengu jima yu ungura na wakove na wina onyanukife. Ashiesho imba ye kupe oshimariva shishihina omarifiro. Imba o maoronga neno uyebu haka enina. Itako na wina rishangita jinun.
My friend.
Alright, welcome back. You know, as I said, I was saying earlier about the 64.2 billion, you know, Namibian dollar that our revenue our mine generated last year, and I was asking, you know, how much of that actually, you know, stayed in Namibia? How much of that money stayed in Namibia? How much of that actually, you know, build clinics or a hospital? I mean, build a clinic or a school in your village, okay? So how much of that actually created a job, you know, for your child, okay? So, and how much of that actually belonged to us? Very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, morning, Mike.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Hmm.
Yeah.
A good weekend? Cold one?
Yeah, it's a cold one. It's a good one, even.
Yeah.
You know, cold is better than the...
I love cold. Give me cold anytime. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Mm.
Yeah, Ramaphosa.
Yeah.
It looked like complicated.
Yeah.
Because nobody was come forward with the threat of the case.
Mm.
Yeah, but in terms of the parliament and politics, they were submitted a proposal that said, does president need to go attending this issue, or we can allow him to be head of the state?
Yeah.
The outcome vote we favor him that he must continue. So, because they were not seeing any wrongdoing, what they saw is that there was something missing. The money was, the people are talking about the money, US dollar and what, but not confirmed that there was a missing money somewhere where you can say maybe the money was illegally in the country or in possession.
Yeah.
So those are the things that in a court of law, you cannot just, based on what the people are saying, we found it about $200,000 or funding $10,000 and converted it on your own while you didn't see fiscally.
So
the other power that he used is just that he instructed in some of his personal
The bodyguard.
Yeah,
or security people,
To follow it up. Yeah. But if you look at the policy of the protection, you think that people as your personal protectors, so they can do whatever you are instructing them to do.
Yeah.
So those are the other things that I'm saying. It's a complicated thing for the, the higher court or the Supreme Court where...
But then the whole thing is, why would you use your people rather than actually use the police to do that? That's where now people started actually asking questions.
Yes, it's on the street. It's on the street question.
Yeah.
But on my personal issue that he was missing, what if I said it was only my watch that I wanted to get, a very expensive one, or in the lineage, a specific thing that was taken there. So as I said, I have to using those intelligence guys that I'm having in my possession as a professional trainer.
But you understand, you know, as a public person, as a president, when there are no answers, for example, immediately when people, the immediate questions that when you hear, when you put it in Namibian dollar, about over 10 million, you know, found in the house. One, you started already asking, where... How can someone actually keep that amount of money, you know? And once those questions become public and you don't answer them,
Mike.
Yeah.
The crime of the public don't count it in it. You understand?
Yeah.
Because this is what we end up fighting to holding the judicial office in our hands.
Yeah.
As a reader.
Mm.
So what you need to focus, as I say, any amount can be raised or can be put in public that there was $200 million was funded on President's house.
Yeah.
But nobody saw that. That's why now the issue is here to say, when you went into Namibia, how much money have you recovered?
Yeah.
There was no money recovered. You understand?
Mm.
They just grabbing those boys, taking them, finito. So there is no money. Remember, when you don't have evidence on that, even a docket itself, it have no say
But there was after there was a complaint that was actually done by EFF, isn't it? And then they created independent parliament of, the parliament of panel, which in the end it was also as they I think led by one of the chief justice as Zantile or something, Zantile Kobo.
Yes, all of those ones they were there.
Yeah.
But the physical evidence of saying president was having money.
Yeah.
Fala, it's not really something that can.
Oh, you mean this way that there wasn't money found, isn't it?
Yeah, there was no money found. That's another issue. That's why President said, I have money because I'm normally selling my uncle or those uncle Ketro. Those expensive ones, and plus also my wild. Life that I'm having, so maybe that money which was taken is the one for that I sold the thing because I'm not the one who is in charge of the farm.
By the way, now you open up a different angle. Who, how do they find out how much money was actually lost? Does the president himself said there was this much money, or where do they get the figure?
No, yes, that's what I'm saying. The street talk. It's totally different thing because these boys, when they took the money, they share the money. Some they went to Namibia.
Yeah.
Some they live in South Africa. Even the girl that was shared the information that there is the money on the sofa and all of that. She never come to Namibia. She's a Namibian, yes, because of the lineage of the parents.
Yeah.
Yes. But there was no money found more than 1 million. You understand?
Mm.
Yeah, there's only figures that people are talking about. And that is what the parliament betting to that or taking that to say, is the falafala really a serious issue of this country to allow president to go prosecuted by the revenue or the Namibia is Namfisa?
Yeah, I think they're looking. Okay, they. I don't think this is looking at. I don't think they're looking at this as a criminal. You know, how would I say it? What they're looking at, because when you're looking at what the panel said, is that there is enough evidence to suggest the president have violated the constitution. So you understand?
No, Mike.
Yeah.
Listen to the judge.
Mm. No, the panel. Yeah.
No, the panel have no concurrence to say president was having money. That's why I'm saying when it came to parliament first time.
Yeah.
They just said no, president house was attacked by the Bugals and they took money and the president.
Yeah, when it was dismissed, when they dismissed from the parliament. Yeah, no, that I understand. Yeah.
Yeah, because the person that was asked, the staff,
yeah,
the person of the guys who are in charge of the investigation, he was also asked by the parliament that, have you ever received any complaining about this present issue? He said, no, I never. But my counterpart in Namibia, they called me, they said there's some guys from South Africa that they are looking at these people.
Yeah.
That is where the thing went wrong, because they said, who's sending those guys to Namibia? Because remember that Sebastian called South Africa for that issue. And then they in the office of the Inspector General in South Africa, they don't know anything about that. You understand?
Yeah.
So that is where the water hold in the parliament to say, no, he using his power. He got in the problem, and then he didn't go to the police. He got to his personal bodyguard.
Yeah. What would, from where we are now, what would constitute to justify a full impeachment inquiry?
Yes. That is where now the Supreme,
yeah,
or the court that they are now judging to blaming the Parliament,
mm-hmm,
is the ones that now take out the file from the parliament to come to them and say, under which article that guiding you to say this is a case or not a case, or just hear that the president have a case and then you say let us vote. Understand? What if the people are against him, the president? They voted him out, right? Like now they want, what do they want?
Yeah.
They want him to go attending the thing, which is not maybe exist. You understand?
Yeah.
President might end up suing the state for how do you call it?
But what do they found? What does the panel found to suggest that there is enough material to suggest that Ramaphosa may have a question to answer under the Constitution?
Maybe it's because the boys they were found.
Yeah.
That is only evidence they have in hand. And I don't know whether they were having enough money, because remember that was a COVID time when they said that boy, when he was arrested in Libya, he was violated because he didn't use the entrance.
Yeah.
He didn't use the immigration. Yeah. So that was also another issue, which is questionable. So, but unfortunately for that, it's not a case for Namibia, South Africa, it's for Namibia. Because you enter in Namibia from South Africa. And you have a citizenship of South Africa. You have all the documents of South Africa, but you didn't use it to immigration.
Yeah.
So that was another issue, which is end up complicated between Namibia and South Africa. But on how much money have they finding in Namibia or in the possession of those boys, there was no more than that. But they were driving a nice car, which we don't know whether they buy it on the same time or they bought it before or after maybe 2 or 3 weeks for the story. So there is nothing. I think the Attorney General of South Africa needed to advise in the Parliament and the Supreme Court also to say that, remember, if you're dismissing and there is no evidence, because there was a lot of involved, President was suing the state.
Yeah, not definitely.
You dismissing him. Dismissing him, not to finish his term because of the corridor accusation.
Yeah, but it's being also pushed. But it's also being pushed by EFF and MK. Yeah.
Yes. Mm. Yes. Because remember now the GA, they are also figured out that we cannot involve on this because we are not sure whether there is a case. But he was violated his power.
Yeah.
Because he didn't use the state to do their job. He using his personal bodyguard. That's another issue which is there.
Yeah.
But that one, anybody can make a mistake. That's a mistake. It's not about...
So, I think that they're actually not looking, even here, it's not looking at that he's guilty of the money that was found in his possession.
No.
But that somehow in handling the whole thing, he actually might have violated the Constitution.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That one we understand. That one you can even open up a case in any police station to say, you know, I want it to, because he was abusing his power. Yes.
Yeah.
That one we understand.
Yeah.
But remember also, you don't know. That's what I'm saying. Those state security. They have other things that they are doing. Remember in Namibia, they were also complaining about, you know, sometimes those people, they are sending us to go fetching their children and what.
Yeah.
So that is the same thing, that anything that I want you to do, you can do it.
Yeah.
You understand?
You might possibly just say, hey, go guys, this is what happened, you must.
Yeah.
And there must be a habit as well. Sometimes you don't go yourself, but you just ask your people to do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is another. And if you look at this Madlanga says commission.
Yeah.
There is a lot of guys that they are using power. They are abusing power now, which is end up violated those things.
Yeah.
Because you just receiving a call from your friend, he said, you know, I have a problem here. And he was sending official guy to go there. When they go there, they didn't find any quarreling.
Yeah.
So just a misunderstanding thing. So at the end of the day, you are abusing the power. That is what President Ramaphosa did. But for us to say there was $20 million in his codes, so nobody will buy it because there is no evidence of that.
Yeah.
Well, so that is another issue which is So all the leaders were trying to say we need to control the judicial because of this corridor accusation. Anyway, Mike.
All right.
Yeah,
no.
That's all I wanted to say.
No, thanks. Today's the Monday's edition of the Unpacking the Day. And thank you for listening. Thank you for listening. And thank you for choosing Eagle FM to be in your company and for tuning in on Unpacking the Day. And and those who have come through, thank you for coming through and for participating in the show. So that's what it's all about. So we'll bring you topical issues and see how they are relevant to our day-to-day life. All right. So let's do this tomorrow again, right here on Eagle FM, from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock as usual. Make sure that you book that seat for Unpacking the Day. So I'm Mike Oshoveli. I see you tomorrow. I'll talk to you tomorrow. So until then, have a great day ahead and a productive week ahead. So it's a goodbye from me.